Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, we know that lockdown and social distancing is essential right now, but it's important we keep up communication and support for those in our community who could be feeling particularly isolated due to being visually impaired or people who are blind. And our next guest has first-hand experience of this. So on the line to tell us more, we have Kevin Kelly, Head of Advocacy at the NCBI, that's the National Council for the Blind Ireland. You're very welcome to the show, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well, Ronan. Good morning to you and your listeners.
So first of all, Kevin, can you share with us a bit about your own background and story?
Okay, so I lost my sight fully at the age of 14. Prior to that, I was short-sighted, but went about my life to a large degree. Would have played a lot of football and soccer, and you know, I was short-sighted, but it was no big deal, and would have attended regular school. But in April 2000, I had a retinal detachment in my left eye, and I had a number of operations, and they were unable to save the sight in that eye. And again, life went back pretty much to normal, minus the sport, because I was advised bangs on the head wouldn't be a good idea.
Sure.
Then in September 2001, I woke on the 18th of September, and I knew as soon as I opened my eyes that I was in trouble, because what I would describe to your listeners is the colour in my eye was running like when a tube on an old television would begin to go. The colours became a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
And as I knew what I was facing into, being a typical teenager, I decided I'd bury my head in the sand and ignored it. And got up, had my breakfast, got tidied up, walked down the road with my brothers and sisters to the school bus, and continued on to school, and went through three or four classes, and eventually I had to put my hand up in geography class because we were doing OS maps, which are tricky enough at the best of times to be looking at contour maps, and I went to the sick bay, and then it was really a sense of deja vu. I went to the GP. The GP referred me up to the Eye and Ear in Adelaide Road in Dublin, seen my consultant again, multiple operations, and unfortunately they were unable to restore my sight.
And was it the same thing in both eyes, Kevin? Was it a retinal detachment in the second eye as well?
Yes, which was quite uncommon for someone who is a teenager, and it was quite a mystery for the consultant at the time as to A, why it was happening, and B, why he wasn't able to restore at least some of my sight, because retinal detachments or tears are quite common, particularly in middle-aged people, and thankfully the surgical success rate is quite high. You may not get the same level of sight back, but
you get something normally,
largely restored. And about 5 or 6 years after I'd lost my own sight, my mum began to develop some sight difficulties, and of course then they began to join the dots, and they did some research, and as it turned out, I have a thing which is quite rare called Stickler's syndrome, which affects connective tissue. So how I would describe it is when you would have the retina put back in place because there was a disorder of the connective tissue, it would peel off like a piece of wallpaper.
Gosh.
And alas, that answered all of the questions as to why I had retinal detachments and why surgical intervention wasn't successful.
So Kevin, was this something that would have necessarily been relevant for all of your tissue, connective tissue in your body, and it just showed up first in your eye because it's so much more sensitive there, or was it just specifically to the eye?
Thankfully, to date, it's only the eyes that have been affected for myself. Other people who have the condition can have problems with other connective tissue around their joints, but thankfully, at the moment, I only have a difficulty with connective tissue in my eyes.
Wow. So for you personally, what have you noticed in terms of social distancing and lockdown? Has it impacted you in your daily life?
It has indeed impacted everyone. People who are blind and vision impaired are no different to the sighted population. We're living in unprecedented times. That's a too often used phrase at the moment. And we have a number of advocacy groups around the country, and we've had regular virtual meetings. I suppose the biggest thing for people who are blind and vision impaired, don't want to basically over-egg this, but when you are blind vision impaired, you kind of depend on your sense of touch to get around and to see the world around you. And of course, at the moment, we are all very aware that hygiene is very important, and the coronavirus does live on surfaces. So a lot of people who are blind and vision impaired be somewhat robbed of that sense of touch. So
yeah, so if you're wearing gloves, for instance, that would really mess things up, wouldn't it?
Indeed, it would, and it could be quite difficult for people. And then the other piece that is always difficult, and unfortunately this has been happening in some cases. We've heard reports that from people who are blind and vision impaired are out and about in supermarkets or pharmacies doing what they are entitled to do. It can be a challenge to obey the 2 meters or to respect the lines that have been put in shops on the floors around distance, and members of the public, because they're feeling anxious and nervous at the moment, have been quite abusive in some cases, or have passed.
Really?
It's very
Bad, isn't it? People being abusive to somebody who's blind because they can't see that they're not 2 meters away from you, for heaven's sake. That's ridiculous.
And I think it's maybe for people maybe to think and bite their lips, because not everyone who's blind and vision impaired, it's not immediately obvious. For someone like myself, I have my cane or a guide dog, but 95% of people who are vision impaired have some residual sight, but it may not be to an adequate level to allow them to obey all of the social distancing guidelines. So in fairness, it's only a minority of the general public, but when we have opportunities like speaking on your own program, it's just worth making people aware that people may not be able to always obey social distancing, rather than that just having a blatant disregard for the rules that we're all being asked to live by.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people say before, just remember that there are all, to do the work in your own brain of the other possible things that could be going on. Like, for instance, that person who looks like they're stockpiling toilet roll might have 7 kids. You know, it's not always what you think you see. So tell us, Kevin, what supports would you personally have in place in terms of, you know, dealing with what's going on at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose for myself, I'm someone who is blind almost 19 years, so I'm quite well adjusted to my reality. But a couple of things that people who are maybe newer to sight loss or who don't have supports of friends or family are really struggling with at the moment is access to online shopping and home deliveries. And there's quite a debate raging at the moment, and the NCBI have engaged with all of the major supermarkets in the country when these new regulations came into place. And in fairness, the majority of the supermarkets, they allow people who are blind and vision impaired to shop during their dedicated hours. However, when they roll sales, is actually giving people who are blind and vision impaired some level of priority when placing online deliveries. And for a lot of people who are blind and vision impaired, they are the very people who were online shopping long before the majority of the general public, but now they are able to receive orders and stuff. So
they have to wait. So can I ask you, Kevin, should there be, do you think, a little special button going, are you blind or visually impaired? Or, you know, a particular button for, you know, that would go on and that would bump you up the queue? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of ways that we can do it, and the supermarkets, like every business and organisation at the moment, are facing unprecedented challenges, but I think it shouldn't be beyond the wit of man to put in place a system. Even something as simple as if you have a reference number or an order number, if you ring the local SuperValu or whatever store that you choose to do your online shopping with, they contact the local manager, and then the manager is able to bring that order forward. And if the IT departments have the time and opportunity, like when you're booking an airline flight, where you could tick a box if you require special assistance through the airport or while on board the airport, you will receive that. So I think it's very much possible to do if there's a will there.
I was just thinking, you know, you told us very beautifully about, you know, that experience that you had of becoming blind, as it were, and discovering that you were going to be blind into the future. And I'm just wondering about those people, you know, who just before the lockdown may have received a diagnosis of sight loss or deterioration of vision. Is this a time when they'll be missing social connection and support, and they don't really have the new supports in place because they haven't figured out how to live this life?
Exactly. There'll be a certain proportion of people who would have received diagnoses that are struggling. And even at the moment, there are people attending hospitals and clinics who are receiving a diagnosis. I know there's much debate around what level of activity is taking place in hospitals because of the crisis. But there are people who are receiving diagnoses, and that's really challenging at the best of times, but when you add in the anxiety that has arisen in the general population due to COVID-19, it's really exacerbated. So the NCBI has launched a number of initiatives to try to ease that to some degree. So we've kind of reshaped and refigured our service delivery model, and we're doing a lot of our interventions now virtually using an array of platforms. We've also launched a national helpline, which is at 1850 33 43 53, which people can call, and we can provide them with an array of support as well as emotional support. So we are really encouraging people, if you're blind or vision impaired, if there's any of your listeners who know someone who's blind or vision impaired, to connect them in with ourselves, or even just simply pick up the phone themselves and make contact, because people with disabilities and people who are blind or vision impaired, when the world is normal and inverted common, sometimes do feel isolated, and I think the onset of COVID-19 has exacerbated that.
I absolutely agree with you. Kevin, I just want to give that national helpline out again. 1850 33 43 53. So 334353, 1850 33 43 53. That's the national helpline, and you can get all further help from there. Is that the point?
Exactly, and you can visit ncbi.ie, or we're available across all of our usual social media channels as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Kevin Kelly, Head of Advocacy at the NCBI, that's the National Council for the Blind Ireland. Thank you so much for talking to us today. God bless you.
You're welcome, Ronan.
Thanks. And as he says, www.ncbi.ie will get you to the National Council for the Blind website. Check it out.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.